Hello and welcome to this podcast from the Grace Baptist Mission Radio Team. Over the next few episodes of Serving Today, we're delving into the archives with a series of talks called Dealing with Disasters. We thought that this would be appropriate in the current climate. We hope these reflections will help us all to make sense of this very unusual period that we're facing. Welcome to Serving Today, the programme for the leaders of God's people. I'm Andrew Cook and it's good to be with you. The greatest example of suffering, Dr. John Hall with more on the subject of disasters. And Malcolm Ryan joins us for A Pastor Talks. Here on Serving Today, we continue with our study of the challenging topic of disasters. Dr. John Hall has been helping us with this. You'll recall that he started this series by laying a good foundation, and he gave us a theology of disasters by taking us through various Bible passages. Then in more recent programs, he's been looking at some examples of disaster and suffering in the Bible. This has helped us to see that disaster can come to anyone and that God's obedient people are not immune from it either. Well, today, Derek French and John Hall consider one more biblical example, and here's John to tell us what his final choice is.
Well, my final example is the very best. It's the Lord Jesus. Now, we must remember, as well as being fully God, he is also fully man, with a body and mind and soul like ours.
Why have you stressed his human nature here, John?
Well, as pain and suffering distress us, so the prospect of the cross distressed the Lord. And we tend to dismiss this. We say, oh, well, that's Jesus. He was God. He's not like us. It was easier for him in some way. And so we don't apply the truths to ourselves. But Jesus is fully human, with the same body, mind and soul like us. And here it is, the distress caused by the contemplation of disaster, that we're going to look at first. The scene is this. It's dark. The Lord is in the garden, Gethsemane, with his 11 disciples. He takes three of them with him and then prays. Derek, Mark describes the scene for us in Mark 14. Would you read from verse 32 for us, please?
Yes, certainly. Mark writes, "They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, 'Sit here while I pray.' He took Peter, James, and John along with him and began to be deeply distressed and troubled. 'My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death,' he said to them. 'Stay here and keep watch.' Going a little further, he fell on the ground and prayed that, if possible, the hour might pass from him. 'Abba, Father,' he said, 'everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will.'"
Note how Jesus prays, Father. That's the core relationship. Everything is possible for you, the core theology. The request, take this cup from me, and the submission to his Father's will, yet not what I will, but what you will. He then returns to the disciples and found them asleep. He wakes them and urges them to watch and pray so that they will not enter into temptation. On that awful night, the only one who stood and pleased God was the man who prayed. Ponder that. Once more, we are told he went away and prayed the same thing. Matthew tells us he prayed the same thing three times.
Yes, his agony, even at this early stage of his sufferings, was immense.
Yes, it was. And Luke, in Luke 22 and verse 43, writes, "An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. You see, his Father heard him and sent help, help so great that in spite of the suffering and the anguish, the Saviour went willingly to the cross and died."
Yes, it really was tremendous what he suffered for us.
And when the cross came, when disaster struck, when he was in the depths of agony, what did the Lord Jesus do? He prayed. He turned to God. In the abnormal darkness, the Lord cried out, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" That's Matthew 27, verse 46. So we see, in the depths of anguish, the sinless Saviour endured. As he experienced the alienation that sin-bearing brought, he turned to God. Yet even in this darkest of hours, he prayed to God. Later, John tells us he cried out, "It is finished." And Luke tells us he ends his life with a prayer in Luke 23 and verse 46. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Once more, we see the core relationship, Father, the core theology. He is going to his Father. And we see prayer, submission, and faith.
What a wealth of help we find in the Bible about this difficult subject of disasters and suffering. And our Saviour's approach to it in his own life is so reassuring for us. John Hall is going to point out some more lessons for us from the sufferings of Jesus. John, there's so much that we can learn from him, so where are you going to begin?
Well, the rest of the New Testament gives us a commentary on the meaning of his death, and I want to draw out three applications.
So what's the first of those?
The Lord Jesus, he endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. That's Hebrews 12 and verse 2. He had hope in his anguish. You see, he didn't see disaster as the end for himself or for the believer. And we as believers can look to the Saviour, can see in Christ's triumph our own coming triumph in Christ. And so in disaster, there is always hope for the believer.
Well, what's your next application?
Because the Saviour suffered as a man, he understands us in our troubles as no one else can. In Hebrews 2 and verse 18 it says, "Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted." Or again in Hebrews 4 and 15 and following, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." In other words, we are urged to pray in our time of need and pray to a Saviour who really understands us.
It's lovely, isn't it? And your final point?
The Lord's example in suffering is to be our approach to injustice and suffering. Peter writes in 1 Peter 2 and verse 23 and following, "When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly." He showed submission and faith. He didn't call down judgments on those that cursed him. He did the will of God. He remained as he should be, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, who didn't react, didn't call out. He suffered quietly, knowing that God would vindicate him. And so in injustice, we too can leave the sense of justice being worked out in society and in our own lives in the hands of God, knowing that God on the last day will fully vindicate those who trust in him as he vindicated Christ. So we've seen we can learn how to handle disaster by looking at how believers in the Bible handled it. They had a core theology, redemption, a core relationship, Abba, Father. They showed faith in God. They showed submission to his will and a hope for the future, and expressed all these things in prayer. This is all summed up by Peter when he writes, "Cast all your anxiety or care on him because he cares for you." 1 Peter 5, verse 7.
Our attention has been directed to our Saviour, the great sympathising High Priest, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. This is so delightful because there are times when either we feel unable to share our distresses with any other human being, or feel there is no one else on earth who understands what we're going through. To know there is one in heaven who fully understands, because he's walked the path of suffering himself, is the greatest of encouragements to pour out our hearts to him. He has suffered more than any man as he bore our sins on the cross, suffering not only physically, but emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. There is no area of suffering we may be called to face that he is unfamiliar with. Therefore, how precious to know we are in his care, and to him we can and should turn with all our trials and difficulties. Well, next time John Hall is going to begin looking at the pastor and disaster, and I'm sure there'll be much practical help to be gained from what he'll share with us, so I hope you can join us then. Thank you.
And we look forward to that, thanks to John Hall and Derek French. You're listening to Serving Today, the programme for pastors and church leaders. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can send us an email. The address is servingtoday@gbm.org.uk. That's servingtoday@gbm.org.uk. Well, continuing with the theme of God's fatherly love for his people, it's good to welcome back Malcolm Ryan with A Pastor Talks, as he encourages us to allow God to care.
God cares about you. He's a caring God. In fact, if something is important to you, then God cares about it. He cares enough to bear your anxieties and replace them with his peace and assurance. And when you give God your worries, you receive his calming presence. So, how do you cast your cares on God? Well, for example, and this is where you need a little faith, you can simply say, Lord, I can't cope with this problem, but I know you can, so here it is. Then you simply share that concern with him. As 1 Peter 5 verse 7 says, we're to cast all our anxiety on God because he cares for us. And it's for sure that he can be trusted. So, believing friend, let the Lord do what he does best. Allow him to care for you. Of course, this takes humility because you're acknowledging your need. You're not just admitting that you're anxious and can't handle your worry alone, but also that you realize only God can handle your concerns. And that's an okay thing to do. Then if you keep trusting in him, what started out as a burden will be transformed into a blessing as you learn just how much God loves you and find it in your heart to love and care for others. Indeed, the more you allow the Lord to care about your worries, the less you have to care, which means you'll be better able to focus your care on other people and also eternal matters. So as Philippians 4 verses 6 and 7 urge us, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Thank you to Malcolm Ryan for that encouragement to entrust ourselves and those under our care to our loving God. Well, we come to the end of our time together here on Serving Today. If you'd like to write to us about anything you've heard, you'll hear the details on how to do that in just a moment. So until next time, this is Andrew Cook saying goodbye. May the Lord bless you as you serve Christ. We hope you enjoyed listening to Serving Today, a podcast from the Grace Baptist Mission Radio team. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can email us. The address is servingtoday@gbm.org.uk, or you can find us on Twitter @servingtodaygbm. Thanks for listening and goodbye.